remain standing this morning, please, as we read the Word of God together. Standing as we read God's wonderful Word this morning. There's a lot of books in this world, but I'm glad I have a copy of the book. Bible said in John, if everything the Lord did was recorded in a book, the whole world couldn't contain it. But I'm glad that He took what we needed and put it in the book.
Amen.
And gave you and I a copy of the book. I'm going to ask you to turn this morning to the book of 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians. And chapter number 2. And I want to begin reading again this morning at verse number 10 to get in context what I want to try to preach on today. He says there in verse number 10, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that reading this morning. Let's bow our heads and hearts together. Our Father, we're so thankful. I am, Lord, for the good Sunday school hour that we had this morning, the good fellowship, the good worship. Thank you, Father, for the good singing and songs that has blessed my heart and stirred my heart here in the preaching hour. And I trust the hearts of your people that are assembled here as well. And Lord, I want to remind ourselves today that we need to strive to be a blessing to those even that listen by radio. And I pray this morning that you'd settle in upon our hearts. Lord, that you'd do a great work for us. That you'd bring us just a little closer along to Thee, draw us a little nigher unto Christ. I thank you for the visitors you've sent our way again this morning. I pray you'd bless them and their families, their homes, Lord. Help us today. I pray for that power of God that's so needed, that anointing of the Holy Spirit, that liberty this morning that's so needed, and the strength in my flesh, Lord, to preach what you've laid upon my heart. I pray you'll save sinners to the glory of God, and strengthen and revive thy work in the midst of the years, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated this morning. I want to take the thought this morning that I'm going to be preaching on out of verse number 13, the latter part of that verse in particular, where Paul said there, concerning the word of God, which worketh effectually now, also in you that believe. And I want to preach for a while this morning on this thought: what about His word? Oh, the wonderful word of God. And you know, God has given us a full canon of Scripture. And yet He says in to Solomon during his reign that the half has never yet been told. And it hasn't. All the preaching, ladies and gentlemen, that's been done throughout the ages yet could not really describe everything that God, and say everything that God has to say to mankind. But I'm glad this morning that He's given us a book. And how wonderful a book this is. May I say that it does not just contain the Word of God. This is the Word of God this morning. And I believe it's God-breathed. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It's the God-breathed Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I want to say that the Word that was with God was perfect, and the Word that was God is perfect, and the Word that was made flesh was perfect, and the Word that you and I have today is perfect. I'm not talking about the RSV or the NIV. I'm not talking about your ATV or your SUV or your TV. I'm talking about the King James 1611 Bible is a perfect copy of the Word of God. He said everything in that book that needed to be said that you and I might be saved by the grace of God and make our way to heaven and rejoice in what God has done for us along the way. Oh, that Word. Paul said that it worketh effectually in you that believe. Amen. That is, that when you believed it, that it began to affect you in your life. Amen. It changed you in your life. Amen. It brought you into a newness of life. It has done something for you that no other book has ever done. Amen. Precious Word of God. Paul, in these verses, is reminding the Thessalonican believers of the effects that the Word of God has had upon their lives. And he says, it effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, in receiving the Word of God, their lives had been affected. They had been converted. And their lives completely rearranged. I've noticed also that in these first two chapters that Paul uses the term received the Word of God. Now, I'll tell you, a man or a woman receives the Word of God, it will totally rearrange their life. I know you've heard this verse a million times, but I want to remind you of it again. That old things are passed away and all things are become new. A man in Christ is a brand new creation. It's not something old made over. It's not reformation. It is a brand new creature that lives on the inside. It is Christ in you this morning, the hope of glory. You never get a hold of that. That when you receive the Word of God, you receive Christ. You receive the living Word as well as the written Word. And that living Word as well as the written Word dwells within your soul. I cannot explain that. That how God could live in the very heart and soul of a man. But I'm telling you, I don't understand electricity either. But when you turn on that switch, the light comes on. I'll tell you, with Him living in Brother Hall, you turn on my switch and the light will come on. You'll get a hold of that after a while. By slow freight, you'll catch it. He has lit up my life. And the Bible says that He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Son, He has lit up my life, ladies and gentlemen. Two things that will light up my life is Jesus and a smile from Sister Hall. Woo! Hallelujah to God. And both of them will put me on shouting ground, glory to God. Either and or both, may I say. Amen. I want you to notice, and I've mentioned this, that Paul came preaching the Word of God to these people. And they received it, the Bible says, as not as man's word and not of Paul's opinion, but as it was indeed the Word of God. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that the gospel is not something that was contrived in the mind of a man. Paul did not sit down and devise in his own heart and mind God's eternal plan for salvation. But may I say that it was something designed in the sovereign mind and will of God, in the wisdom of God, long before this world ever was. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. Well, I figured it'd be an agnostic in the crowd. There generally is one hanging around somewhere. So I want to read this verse to you. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, of which God that cannot lie, get this now, promised before the world began. I'm telling you that God, before the world ever was, ladies and gentlemen, sat down in His own wisdom and His own purpose and will and designed the plan of salvation, that His Son would come into the world, that His Son would lay down His life, that His Son would suffer, that His Son would offer His own blood upon the mercy seat itself for the remission of the sins of mankind. Oh, what a, there is no other way. Yeah, you ain't going to get in being baptized. You're not going to get in joining the church, signing some little card somewhere. You're not even going to get in repeating somebody's little prayer they brought up. I'll tell you, you'll get in through the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on and help me. I'm telling you, sinners are saved through the power of the Holy Ghost of God working in their heart. That's right. Hanging them out over hell. Magnifying their sin. And then unveiling the glory of the cross. Woo! Do you remember that day when God unveiled the cross to you and your eyes were open and you beheld the Son of God in all of His glory? Laying down His life. And for a moment, your heart may have sank low. But then in the same moment of time, the Holy Ghost said, look yonder. Look yonder. 3 days down the road, He got up. He got up. Hallelujah to God. He is not dead. He is alive forevermore. Amen. The sad thing, if all we had is the death. But it's a marvelous thing that He got up. Yes, He did. He got up. Hallelujah. God's redemptive plan for fallen man was designed in His own purpose and will before this world ever was. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. He did not come and destroy the law nor the prophets. But He came and fulfilled the law and the prophets. And the keeping of the law is perfect love. And I'm telling you what I couldn't do, He did. I cleave unto the Lord this morning. In my hand, ladies and gentlemen, no price I bring, but simply to His wonderful cross I cling. I have no hope outside of Jesus. He's my hope and my stay this morning. Oh, I cleave unto Calvary. I want to be like Paul from henceforth. Let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. If I'm going to glory, I want to glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to point out 3 or 4 things here as we get into the message. If you'll notice, the Bible said there they received the Word of God. And they did not receive it as it was the Word of a man. But they received it as it was indeed the Word of God. I want to ask you a question this morning. How are you receiving what I'm saying this morning? Oh, you're just a preacher that God sent here to open up that Bible and preach. But I want to remind you that Paul was a man of like passions. And Paul was just a preacher that God sent to Thessalonica and preach. And Paul said, as you heard my word preached unto you, said there was another switch thrown off in your soul and you didn't receive it as my word. declared, but you received it as what thus saith the Lord. It was God's word that was coming to your heart. I want to ask you, have you received the word of God this morning? As my word or as God's word? Somebody said, oh, you're not, your word is not, what's the word? You're not, what you're saying is not God breathed. Your word is not omniscient. No, my word is not. But I'll remind you, it didn't come in His word only. But it came in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there is something about the word of a man as it goes out of a heart that's been anointed by the Holy Ghost. As it goes out, God puts a power upon that word that it might affect those that hear. I'm glad, thank God. Paul said, when you heard and received, it affected you in your life. Whoa, what a book. Oh, what a word. I'll say again, I don't know if I'm ever going to get where I'm going, but no man ever spake like this man's what they say. No word like this word, friend. Now notice something. If they received the word of God, number one, their ears were open. For the Bible said they heard. Not as a man, but as it was indeed the word of God. That tells me that their ears were open. Listen what the psalmist said about the Lord Jesus in Psalm 40. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Woo! Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. But mine ears thou hast opened. Can you say this morning like David that God has opened your ears? That you not only heard the word of God, but your ears were open and your heart received what your ears were hearing. And when you heard, it affected your life. It changed you. It transformed you. It regenerated you. It redeemed you. You were born again. Hello? He goes on to say, burnt offering and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. For I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. Can I ask you something this morning? Have your ears been opened? That the word of God has been received. And being received, that God has written His word on the tables of your heart this morning. You've entered into that new covenant of grace. Woo! Hallelujah. Where He's not looking for sacrifice and offering. He's looking for obedience that is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. Y'all get with me in a minute now. His ears were open. May I say their minds were receptive. He said, you heard it and you received it. That tells me their ears got unplugged. And their minds begin to receive. A receptive mind is like a good appetite. It relishes the good and a good and wholesome meal. That's right. See, I don't know about you, but I'm a man. And I'm not going to live off of Big Macs and French fries. I cannot live off of pizza. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Every now and then I like to sit down to a bowl of pinto beans. Some fried potatoes. Maybe put a little onion in them potatoes. And along on the side, you might have some pickled beets along with it. And a big pone of cornbread with butter melted all over it. I'm a big boy. I'm not a baby no more. I don't eat Pablum. I don't suck on sipper cups or bottles. I'm not a ninny baby. I'm not eating Pablum. I've got teeth, a few left anyway. Amen. And you can lay alongside that big pone of cornbread if you want to, a big slug of ham. Amen. Or a big meatloaf or something you can get your teeth into. That's a meal, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, but I'm a big boy down at the house of God. I like the pure, unadulterated Word of God preached to me. I'm not going to church and look for a puppet contest. Ollie and whatever their names were. Captain Howdy, Buffalo Bob and Howdy Doody and Clarabel. I'm not looking for donkey rides. I'm not even coming looking for plays and skits. I'm about to get fed up with preachers calling a skit preaching and calling Christian entertainment preaching. I'm telling you, God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching that word line upon line and precept upon precept to save sinners. And to move and stir and bless the hearts of God's people. Now, I want to say to you, what I'm preaching this morning don't bless your heart. You need to get on the altar of grace and get born again. Amen. One thing I know, in 17 years I've preached that book to you. I preached on every verse but one out of the Song of Solomon. I've not contrived things in my own mind and preached to you things I haven't gotten already on my knees. And I've watched you. I may not ever get to where I want to go. But I watched you sit on the pews and saw your ears opened and your heart, your mind receptive. And I've seen that your heart has become responsive. Because it effectually has worked in you. You can never get a hold of the fact that Brother Hall believes along with the Holy Ghost that you've been to Calvary and been born again. I've watched it. I've watched you go through troubles and trials, temptations of life. I've comforted you the best I knew how in your homes. Were being attacked by the devil. And sin was invading your life. And I prayed for you and preached to you. And I've watched you walk through the midst of the valley of despondency and despair. I've watched this heartbreak and grief has filled some of you. And disappointment has gotten a hold of some of the others. And by the grace of God, I'm telling you, as the Lord is my witness, in the last several years, not one has been lost. Not one here has been lost. Not even one hair on your head. God has effectually worked at Island Ford Baptist Church. Not because of anything I've done, but brethren, because the Holy Ghost kissed His Word that went out. Oh, praise His Word that, oh yes, that is even higher than His name this morning. Bless that Bible! Amen. Don't ever mistreat the Bible. I've watched you. Your ears were open. Your mind became receptive. You got an appetite for the Word of God. And Paul said in Hebrews 8:10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. And and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Oh, get them in your mind. Let that mind be receptive. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Decided to make of himself no reputation, but came into the world, ladies and gentlemen, and was not looking for popularity. I'm sick to death of preachers that want to be popular. I'm not looking to be popular. I'd rather be hated by the world. long as God loves me, my wife and family loves me in this church. I don't worry about any of the rest. Amen. But I think after a week, 2 weeks ago, this coming Tuesday, 3,200 people around here thought a little highly of me too. So I ain't all bad. And I ain't all good. But I am all saved. Hallelujah to God. Every bit of me. Saved by the grace of God. So their ears were open. Their minds were receptive. Their hearts were responsive. The Bible said the word of God which effectually worketh in you that believe. That is, they came obedient to His commandments. 1 Samuel 15:22, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. They loved His sayings. They loved His sayings in that book. Psalm 119, verse 14 says, I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as all riches. Let me ask you something. Have you rejoiced over that book as much as you have your money? Would you rather have your money than to have that book? I'll tell you, you can take all the gold in the world from Brother Hall, but give me a copy of the 1611 Bible. Oh, Brother Paul sat down yonder in that prison. He said, bring them books in my coat that I've left, but bring those parchments. I've got to have the Word of God. I asked you something this morning. That book worth more than all your riches? God may find out one of these days. If keeping the law of that book and walking in God's way means more to you than your pocketbook and your checking account, the comforts of this life. A lot of folks in this last election voted their pocketbook above what is right. Amen! I wonder how many Baptists will vote their pocketbooks above what is right, ladies and gentlemen. What are you and I going to do if we're yet around when commercial Babylon is fallen, and they stand and they alas, that great city in 1 hour she's fallen. What would we do if the stock market went like it did in 37? What would you and I do if the bottom dropped out of everything and we suddenly had nothing? Oh, somebody said, preacher, they couldn't nobody live like that. I beg to differ with you. Brother Job said, naked came I into the world and naked I'm going out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to have money to make you happy. You ain't much. That's some of them movie stars that's overdosing and killing themselves. Their money made them happy. They were still looking for something they couldn't find. They looked for it in a pill or a little bag of powder, a little jug of liquor. A night out on the town, some prostitute to their side. Amen! But nothing satisfied. But one day, ladies and gentlemen, after I'd searched in vain for something to satisfy my miserable soul, I got introduced by the Holy Ghost to Jesus. The Holy Ghost said, there's your satisfier, there's your Savior, there's your sovereign God. Now I'm telling you, I've been satisfied in Him ever since. I'm not looking for anything else except a smooch from Miss Hall every now and then. Jesus says, let me have him and her to smooch on. Hallelujah. If you ain't smooching on your wife, shame on you. Hallelujah. I like a big puckering kiss every now and then. There's been some men that have been disappointed hearers. They've heard, and what they heard disappointed them. There have been others who have been dull hearers. Their ears have hurt, and they've gotten dull. They've grown dull of hearing the Word of God. But there's others who are delightful hearers.
They just can't get enough of that wonderful stuff. Just keep shoveling in the Word of God. Oh, that Word.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. What about that Word? I want to say it's living in its essence. It's not dead. It is alive, ladies and gentlemen. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. I won't throw this in. I tried my best to get this in my notes and it wouldn't fit. I'm just going to give it anyway. Because I wasn't even going to that verse. I didn't even want to use it. I've got another one I want to use on that thought of being living in its essence. But it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Hey, I thought this, that two-edged sword can cut away those two little fig leaves that people have got their self-righteousness covered up with.
Look what I done, Lord! I made myself right. Hallelujah. Look at me. I got a fig leaf on. Great day in the morning. The Word of God just helped me to see I'm butt naked. I'm telling you, when God lays a two-edged sword on you, buddy, you will realize that you're open and naked before the eyes of God. There's nothing you can hide from Him. The Holy Ghost knows more about you than you know about yourself, ladies and gentlemen. You ain't going to hide a thing from Him. And get a hold of this. He saved you in spite of all of it. In spite of what we were, He said, I'm going to make you what you are. Thank you, son. Hallelujah. Lord, look what I am. Yeah, but look, I want you to look to Jesus. Because that's what I can make you be like. You mean I can be Him, like Him? Oh, yes. In fact, if you receive it, your heart's responsive and it works effectively in you, you will be like Him. Oh. He's the most beautiful creature in all the world. Yeah, He's the most wonderful. He is wonderful, ladies and gentlemen. He's the mighty counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. Glory to God. The rose of Sharon, the bright and the morning star. The first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. The resurrection and the life. He's the door, the bread of light and the light that shined in the darkness. The darkness couldn't comprehend it. What is that light? But all of a sudden He shined that light on us. And we did comprehend. Woo! We comprehended! Some of y'all get a hold of that after a while. But I said it's living in its essence. Get a hold of this now. 1 John 1:3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, get a hold of this, doth not commit sin. For His seed remaineth in him, and he can not sin, because here's why he can't sin. He is born of God. Amen. Being born again, not of corruptible, but by the incorruptible Word of God. Not by corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God that does what? Liveth and abideth forever, bless His wonderful name. And if you can get a hold of that, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Why? Because His seed remaineth in him. I don't want to get ugly here. But by implication, that word seed means an offspring. We are literally God's offspring. And that word that we're talking about, oh, that word that you received suddenly made you alive. And here's the blessed thing, it liveth and abideth forever. Now, that seed is still shrined in this body of clay. that in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. But that new creation that is in me cannot sin, because his seed remaineth in me, and ye cannot sin.
I'm talking about sinless perfection. I done said this old body of imperfected flesh you carry everywhere you go. And I want to say this, and I don't mean to sound ugly, but that word seed is a word, and I'm not going to say it. You adults can imagine in your mind. It comes from a male. It comes from the male, the seed that comes from the male. And you know what that is, if you'll think. That's exactly what that word is in the Greek, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you something else.
Yes. Hey! Yes. That just about knocks the abortion crowd down the tube. If his seed that's in me, and you can think of what that seed is, what I'm telling you, from the very beginning of the implantation of that seed in a man, oh, that man is alive. That seed is alive. And I'm telling you the same with a natural man. His seed is alive.
Very beginning, buddy. That's exactly what that means. You study it for yourself, Buckwheat. I already have. Hallelujah. So it's living in its essence. Oh, what about that word? I want to say it's liberating in its action. Is anybody here with me? As a knife cuts the prisoner's bonds and kindly lifts the load from the burden back, so the word tells of the blood of Christ, which removes the burden of the sin from our conscience, and speaks of the power of Christ, which giveth deliverance from sin's dominion. Hallelujah. Can you get a hold of this? They're talking about liberating Iraq. I'm glad I've already been liberated. Somebody said, who does it work on? And I don't know why God gave me these two thoughts, and two illustrations, but I thought in John chapter 4, that adulterous woman that came to that well. Look here, she came to the well to get water. She made several trips to that well. I don't know who it was said this a while back, and it's not a first with me. I heard somebody say a while back, when she got there, she found Jesus sitting on her well. You got saved that morning, you found Jesus sitting on your well. You went back to that well of liquor and found Jesus had her capped off, buddy, all had her capped off. You couldn't get to that little well you had been drinking out of. She said, I want some water. Jesus said, hey, if you would ask of me, I'd give you a drink of water that you would never come here and thirst again. She said, Lord, you're sitting on my well that's deep. How are we going to dig the water? He said, I am the well, I'm the bucket, the rope, and the water that's in it. Hallelujah. And get a hold of this. I'm talking about it liberates sinners. Jesus said, hey, woman, go get your husband. She said, Lord, I really don't have a husband. He said, you've rightly said. For he said, you have already had five of them. And that man you're living with is not your husband. I'm telling you that God took a woman married five times and shack it up, ladies and gentlemen, and give her a drink of that living water that liberated her. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how do you know she got liberated? She headed into town saying, come and see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Hallelujah. I want to give you one more, and I don't know why on this one, but John chapter 8. That Pharisaical crowd come to Jesus and said, we found this woman in adultery in the very act. And the law says you're to stone her. What do you say? Jesus stooped down on the ground and began to write. And he rose up and said, hey, let him that is without sin cast the stone first. And he knelt back down and began to write again. When he stood up, they were all gone. Now get this. Get this. I've preached this so many times, and I've never seen it, and I'm getting ready to run my head through a wall. Jesus said, "Where are those thine accusers?" She said, "Lord, no man." Now get this. He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more."
Amen.
You didn't get it, did you? All they could do was accuse.
Amen.
But Jesus was the one that could condemn.
Amen.
Hey, if you can get a hold of that, I'm telling you, that crowd out there, all they can do is point a finger and accuse and criticize. But Jesus said, "I've got the power to condemn, but neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Jesus said, "I've liberated you this day." Woo! I can imagine that little old gal, she went back into town. Gang of that men saw her in town and said, "Hey, sweetheart, we just had a Saturday night fling, and here it is early Sunday morning. Let's carry the love on through the day." And I can imagine that little old girl had been liberated. She said, "Fellas," said, "I don't even appreciate the offer." Said, "I'm not going down to that house. I'm going down to Jesus' house today." Woo! I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that the Word of God, are you listening to me, will liberate a sinner and bring a sinner out of the prostitute's house and bring him down to God's house. Forgive them of all their sin. Is that right, Josh? I believe me and you could shout a little bit on that, son. I know it's a little warm in here. I'm a little hot myself. Hallelujah. That word is living and it's liberating. Hallelujah. I want to say thirdly, it's lasting in its nature. Ladies and gentlemen, gold will always be gold. I want to say this. I want to interject this. Gold will always be gold. And it cannot be anything else. But I'll tell you what it can do. It can be purer. You listen to me? We ain't nothing but sinners saved by grace. That's all we ever will be. But we can be pure. Get a hold of this. Gold is gold, and God's Word is God's Word. It is forever settled in heaven, ladies and gentlemen. It can never be anything else other than God's Word. Man can put his hand on it and try to revise it. It's still God's Word. The devil can try to change it, giving us the NIV and the Living Bible. But it's still the Word of God. You ain't going to change the precious Word of God. It's lasting. And get a hold of it. Can you get this? That Word that's forever settled in heaven has been, and if I could use this word, impregnated into your heart. And that same Word that's settled up there, look out, Wall. That Word, Brother George, that settled up there has sealed down here. Just like Jesus sealed that well, ladies and gentlemen, that Word has sealed another well. But I'm glad every now and then that word that's sealed in our heart, the Holy Ghost just scooches over from it a little bit and just lets a little of that joy come out of there. Amen. It's lasting. Some of you worry about losing your salvation. You ain't going to lose it. Not if you have received the Word of God. And your ears have been open. And your mind has been receptive. And your heart's been responsive. That Word has affected you. Oh, what Word. Oh, what Word. Never been greater words uttered than "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give thee rest." That's right. Now I've got three little things here to say and I'm done. Here's the message, really. How has that Word affected you? What about that Word that effectually worketh in those that believe? How has that Word worked? May I say, first of all, that if you're right with God and you've received it, it has affected your heart.
Amen.
Somebody said that ain't very deep. Might be deeper than all of us. Very familiar verses of Scripture, Romans 10, 9 and 10. This word of faith, as Brother Blue would say, the word, God's word.
Amen.
You got a hold of that, ain't you? This word of faith,
amen,
which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart,
amen,
that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's not God's word opinion. That's God's settled word, ladies and gentlemen. For with the heart, there it is. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made. The nasty stuff for the barrel full, if I could get it. And if I couldn't find it and buy it, I'd steal it. I'm not proud of it. I was hooked on it. I come out of a bar in Germany one morning. I don't even know what time of the morning it was. Didn't all broke, didn't have no money, walking down the street. Saw a big wine display inside of a big plate glass window, right back my foot and kicked a hole in there just to get a bottle of wine. And the thing about the bottle was empty. And I took off running, run about a half a block, and run into a German policeman that weighs about 6'7", weighed about 300 pounds. He said something. I said, I don't know what you said, but I ain't going nowhere. Are you listening? I'm telling you, bad. There's where my affection lies. I'd get up on Saturday morning, Lord, or some Monday morning, Lord, Sunday morning, Lord, if you help me, I'll never do this again. You know what? Next Saturday night, I was right back out on the straw with another flossing of that beer, popping that flossing, and watching that smoke curl up out of it. Oh, going to have another time. Give me one of them bratwursts and a little bit of that German potato salad. Going to have a time. Left there and went to Vietnam, give $20. And I'm not proud of this. I'm just telling you my heart this morning. I give out in the field and I give $20 for one can of beer that was hot, been in a man's duffel bag for 3 months. In 100, 110, 15, 20 degrees temperature. I opened it and drank it and give $20 bill for it. You talking about hooked on liquor, ladies and gentlemen. Raised in my home on that, seeing that liquor and swore I'd never drink it. But before I got big enough to know what it was all about, I found myself wanting to run with my bigger brothers and get the same little drink that Ben and Daddy had. And I'm telling you, they're coming. I come home from Vietnam and was wild and mean and hateful. I don't know how Miss Hall lived with me then. I love nobody or nothing. And that's right, I married her out of lust. It wasn't love. Are you listening to me? Love nobody or love nothing. Didn't even love my own life. Didn't care if I took a breath the next day. Wasn't afraid of nothing or nobody. Wasn't big enough to whip nobody, but I was always willing to try. But oh, on that Sunday afternoon, Sunday when Jesus came into my heart and flooded my soul, but with the great love of God, I tell you, my affection changed that day, ladies and gentlemen. Those things that I loved, I hated, and what I hated, I loved. God got a hold of my heart and changed my heart that day. That's right. Amen. I'm telling you that word, ladies and gentlemen. It'll affect your heart. You better believe it will. Your affections will change. Get a hold of this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Oh, but now God's word has affected you. And such were some of you, but Paul said, but ye are washed. Woo! I'm glad, thank God, I got washed. Thank God I got all spruced up. Thank God he put a robe on me and shoes on my feet, ring on my finger and killed that fatty calf. Brother Alfred Willis said, he ringed me, robed me, reboxed me,
and took me to rise. Hallelujah. But such were some of you. But you're washed. Not only that, you're sanctified. That is, made holy. You're no longer a profane thing. You're holy. A vessel meet for the Master's use. Yes, sir, you're holy. Sanctified. But you're justified. He said, you're just like you had never sinned. I can't imagine that. They're gone, folks. My sins are gone. Oh, we ought to be tearing the building apart this morning. Condemnation is gone. Guilt is gone. My conscience is pure this morning. The sin is gone. I've got a good conscience. I was baptized for a good conscience toward God. That my sins are gone. I was raised in a newness of life. Cleansed. Sanctified. Justified. All because of the Word of God. Amen and amen. You see, it affected your heart. It affected your affections. Here's where I should have went to. I went to the wrong place. 1 Peter 1:8. Done got ahead of myself, but Jesus wanted done it. We'll just live with it. 1 Peter 1:8. And you know the verse. Whom having not seen, ye love. There's that a change of your affections. Whom you've never seen, ye love. Your affections changed. It affected your heart. I want to say, secondly, it affected your habits. That's where I was going in Corinthians. It affected your habits. Used to be feminine, idolaters, revelers, laying out all night, cussing God. But God, the Word of God, changed your habits. Get this. I'm closing right here. It affected your heart. You know where I'm going. I'm Brother Hall. I'm going there as often as I can. It affected your heart. It affected your habits. And it affected your home. You remember that night? Come on now. When you and sweetheart walked back into that little house after Jesus had saved your old rotten heart. And even the house looked a little different. And you walked over to the television set and the Holy Ghost said, leave it alone. I have to throw that in there. Leave it alone. Sit down in that easy chair and grab that pack of Marlboros and flick that big. The Holy Ghost said, let it alone. Eased out to the refrigerator and looked in there and looked for one of them throw lights. Bud heavy. Bud dumber. The Holy Ghost said, let it alone. You've been washed. Your heart's changed. Your habits have changed. Your home has changed. God done a good work on you with the Word of God. That effectually worketh in you. Somebody said, oh, preacher, I can't give up what I got out yonder. Listen to what the wisest man in all the world said in Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. I'll sit down to a dinner of turnip greens. I have sat down a number of times for nothing but a bowl of blackberries and a biscuit for my supper meal. But looking back, I'd rather have a biscuit and a bowl of blackberries and have Jesus. Have all that I had out yonder in the world. I'd
tell you young couples in here in our church is not full of you? Hey, look to him. With all you're getting, get wisdom. Get the principal thing. Lay hold of Christ for you and your family and your home. I'll guarantee you, and there will be so many blessings come your way just because of doing that, you can't count them all. You'll just serve him faithfully and look to him every day of your life and seek his perfect will. I'll guarantee you'll never regret it. He changed our home for you. Oh, baby, he did. Hallelujah, he did. Used to cuss and cavort and threaten, throw things. But I'm glad that it's not that way anymore. Woo! That word has changed me, ladies and gentlemen. Paul, look here, and Paul, here's what Paul said. I want to thank God! Because that word has effectually worked in you. It says that in the beginning of that verse. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I look at you, and I'm telling you, I look at this church, and I am so thankful. Even when we were going through bad times, I told Miss Hall, I said, it's rough. Man, I'm telling you, I don't know what God's doing or where he's at. I still thank God every time I go somewhere else and come back. I say, we still got more than they got. I'm still thanking God. I can thank God for what work he has done in your heart and life. Changing your habits and ways of life, and even change your home. Some of you come into church now, you don't have that bulb in there. I'm talking about them weeds, you know. Some of you, believe it or not, are even starting to open the door for your wife. Steve Warren. I could just go on and on, but I wish you were tired. So am I. Isn't God great? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. Amen. I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. But he did, and he has, and he will, and he does. Amen. You and I both. And I believe with all my heart, I've seen God's word effectually work.